Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar. Your guaranteed solar power protection against nighttime predators. Visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author, Pat Forman. Today is Thursday, May 20th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and of course, right now, ongoing, register to win a beautiful, beautiful $350 chicken coop from mypetchicken.com. Right now, all you have to do is go to chickenwhisperer.com, click on our radio show homepage, scroll down a little bit, you'll see a beautiful picture of the coop you could win. All the rules, of course, you have to be over 18. You can only register once. Fill out the little entry form, very, very simple, and you are entered to win that beautiful coop. We're going to be giving that coop away live on the radio Monday, that's Memorial Day, May 31st. So we'll have a lot of extra people listening because they won't be at work, and they'll be able to listen in live instead of listening to the podcast. And what we're going to do is, well, I'll get into that in a little bit later. But if you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I want to invite you to join the live chicken chat that's going on right now. Chicken chat is awesome. Come on in, sit a spell, have a great time. Just click on the chat now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, participate, chat, talk, do video conference with everybody, and have a great time there in the chicken chat room, like I said, going on right now. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on, so we hope you'll do that today as well, as mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do that today. Once again, I want to thank you very, very much for tuning in today to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar.
There will always be something that will love your chickens more than you. That's why I use Night Guard Solar to protect my flock. Night Guard Solar has successfully been manufacturing and selling Night Guard Solar lights for over 12 years and offers a one-year warranty and complete money-back guarantee. No waiting. Night Guard Solar will be shipped within 48 hours of your order. Order your Night Guard Solar lights today at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust
when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's now time to bring on my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, of course, the one, the only, Pat Forman.
Yeah, hey, Whisper. So I'm kind of glad there's only one and only of me, but on the other hand, I could sure use an awful lot of help. So that's true.
You and me,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I said, oh, gosh, I wish I could tell me to go do something else while I'm doing this other thing. Wouldn't that be great to bilocate and be able to do that? What a treat. Yeah. Hey, I hear in the chat room here there's something about a shout-out on Urban Farm magazine about the Chicken Whisperer. What's that all about?
Have no idea.
Okay, I just saw it. It just came on, so I didn't know. You know, well, I can tell you there was an interesting quiet shout-out at the Kensington Court with the Stancils versus the Montgomery County. And it was so bizarre. I've never seen anything quite like this. Do you want me to just give a brief oversight? Because we still don't have a decision, and when we do, I'd like to get Margie Stancil on to the Stancils versus the county to tell the story of it. But there were just a couple of odd things that were just so weird. Is this a good time to go into it?
Great time. Please do.
Okay, well, since we got a little bit of chat time here in the front, there was a long, extended discussion about eggs, which is, you know, I've talked a lot about eggs in my life. That's nothing really new. But this discussion was about if chickens produce eggs and eggs are edible and have commercial value, doesn't that make chickens livestock? And the whole thing just was going round and round and round, and the prosecutor kind of looked like an egg himself. He was kind of in a way. I probably shouldn't say that in case the county's listening, but he was so adamant against the whole idea of chickens that he was pretty much going at anything that he could go at to get this it wasn't about chickens. It wasn't even about their building. It was just that he, it seemed like, had a vindiction against chickens. So the hearing went on for probably over an hour, and they had witnesses come up, and it was discussions, and some of the whole long discussion about eggs was kind of amusing, to say the least, but so long drawn out. And the other one that came up was about the buildings, and this whole issue is about setbacks. And what's interesting is they were saying a shed has to have 50 feet. And I might be getting some cities mixed up, but when I went out and I stayed with the Stancils, they were kind enough to put me up for that night. We had a wonderful dinner, by the way, at the Blackwater Half Cafe. That is just an absolutely fabulous place to eat. But when I looked at their chicken house, it's really a chicken tractor on top of a garden bed, and they have it's on a terrace. They've got three garden beds kind of in a row going down the hillside, and it's perfectly movable. So when we looked into our local laws about sheds versus just portable kind of buildings like that, they were exempt. The chicken tractors were totally exempt because they were on skids, or we could move them. So I just wonder if that isn't part of the whole issue now with the setbacks across the U.S. is if it's a portable building, does that make it a shed? And in our county, the answer is no, it does not. But in other counties, does it? So that's splitting hairs, I think, but it certainly can make a difference whether or not you can keep it. And, of course, a shed is defined as a small, rough building used for storage. It's strongly built and usually in a fixed position. Interesting why walks come up. The other thing that came up yesterday was we had a wonderful meeting with the D.C. City Mayor's policy and legislative staff. There were three of them there on the staff. They were very sincere. They were absolutely charming and asked really good questions. And we also had the D.C. Poultry Advocate Group. I think we had five there. Karen Ernst did a wonderful job in presenting the case and in saying what they wanted to do in D.C. The D.C. Policy Office was very sympathetic towards local foods, and they're doing a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job in getting gardens at schools and promoting more of an awareness about foods in schools. But one of the things that keeps coming up, and I think I understand your position on this too, Whisper, is the whole thing about getting neighbor approval. I mean, we both you and I agree that's one of the most ridiculous things I think that we've ever heard. But it didn't dawn on me until after the meeting that what we're really talking about is, I think the reason it came up, and it's only come up recently, is because people are kind of apologizing, saying, "Oh, please let me have chickens, and if I have approval, like from mom or dad or the neighbors, then it's okay, and I'll be a good person." But it has nothing to do really with approval from the neighbors. It has to do, I think, with civil liberties. And civil liberties are the rights and freedom that we have. It's the protection of an individual against the government, and it's fundamental rights. So I'm going to email back to Karen and say, you know, we're really talking about civil liberties here when it comes to being able to keep chickens without getting permission from a God knows what mental state conditioned neighbor to keep a family flock of chickens. So those were kind of the outlying things that came up during my D.C. trip. It was for my part, it was totally delightful, and it's great to see how things are really moving along and getting more sophisticated in their arguments and the defenses. And, of course, the view is definitely changing towards pro-chicken. Except perhaps the county defender, but otherwise, that was kind of a synopsis of tomorrow, the last 2 days. So I'm back safe and sound. The little baby Keiths are doing fine. I've now grafted six of them. One just hatched out, and so far it's doing fine, but grafted six little baby guinea Keiths onto a Chanticleer hen, and she's accepted them all quite graciously. She's taking care of them, keeping them warm, so we'll see how many I can get under her. So that's the news from my home front, Whisper. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, staying busy as always. Had a whole day of meetings yesterday. I'm not quite liberty to say with who or what it was about, but the meeting started at 10:30 yesterday morning. Had about a two-hour break late afternoon, and then we all got together for a dinner meeting, and that we left the restaurant probably around 9:30, quarter of 10, so it was a full day, very productive day, full of meetings, very pleased with how they went so far, and as time goes on, we'll have a couple announcements. I had some conference calls this morning about some things that are going on in my life and regarding backyard poultry, so hopefully in the next couple of weeks, all of this will kind of pan out, and we'll have some great announcements to make for everybody. At least I look forward to doing that. So it was a busy day yesterday. I want to head over here to the phone lines really quick and see what we've got. I know the chat room's filling up. I know I posted it on Facebook and Twitter. But we're going to welcome, of course, since it is the Thursday, we're going to welcome Dr. Bridget McCray. Y'all know her, our regular listeners know her and love her, and she is a PhD, poultry scientist, professor, small flock specialist, and can definitely, without a doubt, answer your questions about poultry very accurately and very scientifically. And that's such wonderful, because we always learn so much when Bridget is on the radio show. But it's going to be a quick show if we don't get some calls. So I can ask some questions, Pat can ask some questions, there can be some questions in the chat room, but this is live radio, and we have a live call-in number for that very reason, for people to call in, and we'll bring you live, and you can ask Bridget your question, which may lead to another question. So I'm going to go ahead and announce the number now, live over the airwaves, for you to go ahead and call in. And we're talking really about small flock management today, so I would say probably anything goes regarding that. Just give us a call at 347-637-3237. That's the direct call-in number here for Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, 347-637-3237. And I have a couple of questions on hand you'd like to ask Dr. Bridget McCray, which we're going to bring on live here and welcome her and chat a little bit with her. Me and Pat may have a couple of questions for her, if I can get my switchboard to work. So what a great, great opportunity here. Let me see if I can get this up and working. Are you there, Bridget? Nope, that must be you, Pat. I hear typing in the background. Hang on just a second.
Oh, yep, I was trying to be so quiet. I've got to get a new keyboard.
There we go. Now she's live, I hear her. Hey,
Hi.
Bridget, welcome.
Can everybody hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, good. Excellent. How are you guys doing today?
We're clucking merrily along.
Excellent.
Yes.
Congratulations,
yes,
on your broody hen grafting with the guinea keets.
Yes, yes. One of my very first sort of family flock members was a little bantam from the Chesney Flea Market, and she that was the first Attila the hen, the very first one, and she decided that she was just going to sit on a nest of guinea eggs and hatch them out, and she did a great job with them. So I was going to this sort of free clutch, sort of a wayward clutch from a friend of mine. Started out with 24, and we're down to about 15. Some of them weren't fertile, and one of them was rotten, broke in the car, so I was driving back.
Ooh.
At that. I had a couple of hens in the back. I thought, oh, my goodness, what on earth is he feeding them? And then when I was taking the eggs out, one of them had broken, and it was obviously pretty yucky. So anyway, this is a good question for you, Professor, because I've got these eggs under two brooding hens that are incubating them, and then I've got one hen that is brooding them. She's got six of them that are wandering around with her, and I have no idea when they're going to hatch out. That's probably every other day or so I'm going to get another little chick. So I'm in new territory. I've never phased batches before. We've always had them all hatch out at the same time within 24 hours of each other, but I'm just wondering how many little keets this one that's mothering the keets will take. I mean, could I put 12 or 15 or
it depends upon the personality of the hen. Sometimes she'll take a few, and sometimes if you introduce just one new one, she's done with it. And
she'll abandon all the little babies?
No, she'll abandon that one bird. Or
Well, we'll see what happens. I'm keeping a journal because I know,
yeah,
you find the little cuts. What I found works really, really well for both the chickens and goats is I use a little essential oil or some Vaseline, Vicks, something like Vicks maple rub, and put it on the head of the mother and just a little bit on the back of the baby, and then put it in at night after she's definitely gone to bed. And usually by morning time, then she's kind of come used to it, and that hasn't failed yet. So that's kind of the strategy I'm taking on this.
I know that definitely would work better with goats, but chickens don't have the most fabulous sense of smell. So sometimes they don't count very well, and they just get suckered into yet another chick. But I always tell folks, if you can set a clutch of eggs at once, that's the best thing you can do, because that's what mother hen does in the wild. She'll set up a nest somewhere that's remote and hidden, And then she'll lay an egg, get up from the nest, return to the flock. Next day, lay another egg. And typically, a clutch is about 5 eggs for a red jungle fowl in Southeast Asia. So after about 5 days, she'll sit down on that nest, and she's got 5 eggs under her, and she's ready to go for the 21-day sit-upon. And that's how you guarantee, pretty much, that they all hatch out at the same time. Now, some hens, as soon as the first chick hatches out, they'll wait for maybe a day, and then they leave the nest. So anybody mm-hmm. who's, you know, only halfway through development, tough luck, mom's off. Because as a hen goes through the process of laying eggs, going broody, and then working with her young, there's lots of chemical changes. Some experiments have been done where while a hen has been broody, sitting on a nest, chicks are introduced. And hens, if it's too soon, their bodies know it, and they say, that's not mine, and they stay off with you. And so a hen physiologically goes through lots of chemical changes as she broods her chicks, and she knows about when 21 days are up. Some of the really good broody hens will get off a nest completely if nothing hatches and go find another nest because all her babies are dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
yeah, that's
kind of
point.
The process that you depend upon when mom's sitting on eggs. I think we had a question a little bit ago. I'm going to the chat room. Let's see. What is a good age to introduce new chicks to an established flock? Thank you very much, Grape Eggs. New chicks should be kept separate from your established flock until they can handle outdoor temperatures and have a more developed immune system. New chicks haven't been exposed to the same sorts of organisms that your established flock has been exposed to. And so they need time for their immune systems to mature and adjust. And if you purchased chicks from a hatchery and they've been vaccinated, then you need time for the vaccine to take hold and for their little bodies to start producing antibodies. And so those are, you know, a gradual process. When I was raising chickens, I kept my birds separate for a good number of months, about 3 months. But I was also selecting my birds for show, so at the same time I was culling out the birds that were not show quality. And so once the birds were mature, I could tell males from females. I'd culled out the birds that were not perfect. They were about 3 months old before they joined the rest of the flock. And at that time, their immune systems were pretty darn capable. Not perfect, but much more capable than putting brand new chicks underneath a mama hen or putting them in with adult birds. You wouldn't take a baby from the neonatal unit at a hospital and walk it through the infectious disease ward. So you got to think of your chicks as brand new babies who need time to develop their immune system. So, Grape Eggs, I hope that answers your question. And you may have been planning on putting your chicks outside tomorrow, but you might have to rethink some of that. But thank you very much for your question. It was excellent.
Yeah. Professor, is this the same that is true for ducks about when to introduce young ducks into a flock?
I followed the same policy with all new animals. Baby animals.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have baby goslings, baby turkeys, baby ducks, geese, and I just give them time to mature before introducing them to the older birds.
Mm-hmm. Is there another question kind of that relates to that? Is there an oldest time perhaps when to graft a chick on? I mean, they within 5 weeks, of course, they're going to be on their own. But is there like a cutoff date between 3 weeks? The chick's not, the mom's just not going to take it versus like 1 week. She will. That's a weird question.
Yeah, some hens will take on just about any challenge. And it doesn't matter if there's a couple of different age groups, but typically the first week is the best time to do that because they're the right size. Once they start getting too big, especially this is true of bantam hens, they really can't handle a chick that's, you know, 3 weeks old trying to squeeze underneath them. And at that point, the chick's pretty much going, I don't need you. What are you doing here? So the first few days is your best bet for attempting a grafting project.
Another question.
Pretty self-sufficient too.
Okay. Well, another question about guineas. They take 28 days to hatch. About, I mean, I know there's a little variation in there, but do they also take longer to mature? At 5 weeks, are they pretty well self-sufficient, or do they take longer to?
You're saying mature for meat production,
mature,
egg production, or
just mature to be away from the mama. I mean, they're out on their own. You know, they can forage. They know where to go. They're self-sufficient.
Well, they know how to forage immediately. They know what food and water smell like. That's an innate skill of precocial species, of which chickens, turkeys, ducks, geese, guineas all fall in the same category, game birds too. They know how to eat. Mom does not need to bring them a worm and shove it down their beak like a sparrow. Those are an altricial species, so they're good to go. Basically, all you are doing when you're putting them under mama hen or putting them in a brooder is you're providing a safe, warm environment. Hopefully it's safe in that, you know, the family cat won't get in there. You're providing enough heat for their little bodies to mature. And when they are fully covered with feathers, that's about 6 weeks old. I have had guineas as well. In about 6 weeks, they're good to go for going outside, but you do have to watch the outdoor temperature. If you've got a storm coming or a frost is predicted, you still want to bring those little guys in for bad weather.
My question is pretty much the hen is doing the brooding.
Mm-hmm.
And I know two of my hens, when I really watch them, once the chicks get to be 5 weeks old under the same age kind of batch, they ditch them. I mean, they will say, go that way, and then they'll come back around the house the other way. It's like they are done. Are guineas at about 5 weeks? Are they pretty well feathered out? And if they get ditched, they'll probably be fine. But
they'll probably be fine, yeah. And guineas are very independent.
Yeah, they're kind of very brainless, I think.
Now, if you're a guinea fowl lover, you would not agree.
I don't know how they survive.
Are out there, so.
Yeah. Okay.
We have Al C., who just mentioned a statement about introducing Polish birds because they have different plumage.
Uh-huh, that's a good question.
Al C., I'm assuming that you're saying introducing young Polish to mature birds, a mature flock. Not quite sure. I have introduced Polish using my own flock, and they do perfectly fine. It depends upon the tenacity and the personalities of the birds in your flock with any new bird, not just Polish. So sometimes you run into problems, sometimes you don't. And it also helps to give them a distraction when you're introducing new birds. Put some scratch down or some treats down that they really enjoy and make the two groups of birds, you know, talk to each other through a fence for a little bit, maybe a week or two.
A professor, a friend of mine had a Polish, in fact, it was a little Polish cockerel, as it turned out. Sweet, sweet, sweet guy. But the rest of the flock just kept bashing him on the head. It's like they took that little top crown or his top hat, and they just wouldn't leave him alone, even though they had plenty of space to do it. It was almost like it became some target. I mean, do the Polish have a hard time integrating with other flocks because of the feathers that are kind of, and he has his head ended up bloody. I mean, they just kept kind of whacking at him. It was awful.
Sometimes that happens. And it has to do with the personality, not so much of the Polish, but of the other birds. And they may have just found that just way too interesting. So,
they wouldn't leave it. Well, is there, if you put something like Vicks VapoRub or something, would that maybe deter them to keep them from getting started on that particular breed?
I haven't tried that, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that, you could try all sorts of different things. And see what came of it. But he was obviously low man on the totem pole when he came in, and he didn't fight for his position in the rank.
No, he's very docile.
Yeah, and typically Polish roosters are very aggressive. And
oh,
so
really?
That's very unusual to hear that you had a docile one, and kudos to you for having a docile one.
Oh, well, it wasn't mine, but they brought him to the poultry club saying this. I mean, he had a little scabs on his head, and he was just kind of going around talking to everybody, very personable. So two young gals ended up adopting him, and they're saying, well, they're going to start training him for a therapy rooster to take out to the nursing home, because in Lexington, Virginia, the Polish are designer chickens. So it would be a good. Well, I was thinking about getting a Polish at the Lucasville show, and just because they're so funny to look at, and they're just such a hoot. Would she be hard to integrate, I guess, compared to others? I guess I'll
females
find out.
Females are a different ballgame than the males. The females have very tight crests, and their vision is far more limited than the males. The males can actually see much better because their feathers are floppy, and they have a larger, you know, visual range than the females. The females can end up being just kind of in a corner by themselves because they don't see their new environment very well. And the other chickens can, you know, put them pretty low on the pecking order.
Well, yeah, they'll be. So could you just trim some of those feathers, give them a little better eyesight and a little better fighting chance?
Yes, if it's not a show bird, you can. And you can even put their crests back into a ponytail holder. Except for my birds had such tight crests, they always fell out. So that was not working
at my farm.
The little
headband. Oh,
yeah. They had little ponytail holders holding their crests back.
I have to get one of those little hen aprons to go with it, and I'm sure that would be all the hit at the retirement centers.
The style of the century.
Yeah, maybe some sunglasses to go with it, and definitely a diaper with painted toenails. I can see it now. We've got the Phyllis Diller of the poultry world entertaining the whoever.
We have a question by Anna Bender. She says she's got two month-old pullets that are fighting for the same section of roost, even though it's big enough for everybody, why would the roost position be of interest? At that age, they're sorting out their peck order. And so they may just be trying to figure out, all right, who's boss? And it may be one, it may be the other. They'll just have to figure things out. And, you know, they'll find out which bird is dominant. So it doesn't really matter if there's plenty of space. They're sorting things out as to who's top hen. Okay. Let's see. We've got Brighton online. He wants to know what are the best ways to raise modern game chickens. He wants to start raising them, but he's heard they are hard to raise. Okay, here's another question for Brighton. Do you mean bantam or large fowl? So if you could type that answer to me, that'd be great. Now, for those of you who don't know what moderns are, modern game chickens, they are very upright in how they look, very very close feathered. They're not loose, fluffy feathers like you would see on a Cochin or a Brahma or even, say, a Plymouth Rock. They hold those feathers very close to their bodies. And I don't know if all of you out there have ever watched the Jurassic Park movies. But in the second movie, The Lost World, I think it's called, in the opening scene, there's those little tiny dinosaurs that stand up very tall and straight that went after the little girl in the movie. I think they called them compies. And I would say that's pretty much what a modern game looks like. They have a long face, a long neck, long legs, and a compact body, but they stand very tall. So if you just basically took off that long tail on those little tiny dinosaurs, that's what a modern game would look like. Okay, so Brighton is talking about bantams. So he wants to know about how to start raising them. Of course, I would start with stock that's from a notable breeder, and Brighton is into showing his birds. So he would go to many shows and start talking to breeders about the variety of modern game that he was interested in, and ask judges questions too. You can keep them in pens that are just like any other chicken pen, you know, plenty of space for the birds to move around in. But seeing that the hens are so small, sometimes they have a hard time laying eggs. And those eggs are awfully small. So sometimes the chicks have a hard time hatching out. So you want to do a good year's worth of research and know the pitfalls of raising moderns before you get your first pair or trio. I know some folks who have dived right into getting into moderns, and they've had no problems whatsoever. And other folks just have the darndest time because their favorite line of modern games is having a real hard time with fertility or hatchability. And so sometimes those are the problems that you get into when you start your breeding program. I would definitely do a year's worth of research, Brighton, before I got started with your first pair or trio. Any other questions? Let's see. Let's look inside the chat room here and see what questions. Ah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. While you're looking there, Professor, why don't we just take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
One of the biggest responsibilities we have as backyard poultry owners is to keep our flocks safe from predators. Sometimes this is easier said than done. Until now, costing only pennies per day to operate, NightGuard Solar is completely weatherproof and will provide complete predator protection for years to come, using daylight or sunlight to power itself. Order your NightGuard Solar lights today at NightGuard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Mount
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery. Night Guard Solar would like to extend a special introductory offer to all the Chicken Whisperer listeners. Get four Night Guard Solar lights for just $100 plus shipping. That's a savings of $20. All you have to do is mention the coupon code WHISPER when you call an order. Take advantage of this great special right now by calling 1-800-328-6647. That's 1-800-328-6647. Or visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Go ahead. Make my day.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I'm fit to be tied because my webcam hasn't worked for the last two shows, and so it's time to email Blog Talk Radio. I had to do this one other time, so it's not often, and I guess they did something on their end to fix it. I've gone to Flash Player and the whole nine yards to try to get it on my end, but it's just not working. So I want to thank Bridget and Pat for kind of continuing on while I did some technical stuff here. We do have a phone call. We're going to bring live with a question here, so let me go ahead and bring them live. Area code from 978, if you'll state your name and what state you're calling from.
Hi, it's Bob from Massachusetts.
Hey, Bob, thanks for calling in today, and what question do you have for Dr. McCray?
I just posted it in the chat room. Okay. I've got a hen that's coming out of a molt, and she lost a lot of breast feathers. And the pin feathers that are coming back in, a lot of the other hens are pecking at. And there's no bleeding or anything yet, but I didn't know if there was anything we could do to supplement her feed or something to help the feathers come in quicker.
No, they're not going to come in any quicker. I would try to distract the other hens, give them some other things to do, or perhaps separate the hen that's coming in with the new feathers. Until she's got, you know, more than just her pin feathers coming in.
Yeah.
Some people would say you can give them a little apron or a bib, but that tends to get so messy and stepped on that it becomes more of a pain than anything else, and they can actually get a little hung up in it too.
Right.
So there's nothing really you can throw into their feed, feed that you get at the feed store. But just give it time, and you can give her a little break from the other hens because sometimes they will pull hard and see a little blood, and then that can be a horrible situation.
Yeah, definitely. Cause we had one with a cut foot, and when the others saw the blood, they just went ballistic.
Yep. That's key to a cannibalism event. And hopefully they have plenty of room to get away from each other. And if you're home, you can see this.
Yeah, they do. And it's rare that one of them will go up and peck, but like when we're calling them inside at night, you know, they'll all be walking up the hill and one will just look at her and run over and peck.
Yeah.
I have another question, too.
Sure.
Auto cannibalism in chickens is...
Self-pecking?
Self-pecking, yeah.
Are they pecking at their skin or their feathers?
This is the one with the cut foot.
Mm-hmm. She's pecking at her own wound?
She'd peck at her own wound.
Yeah. It's probably irritated, and you know, she's just fiddling and futzing around with it. If you can put some sort of, here's a thought, chicken shoe on.
I did have it bandaged.
Oh, good.
That's
all you really need to do.
Okay. And I've been putting pine tar on it. So.
If you have a topical ointment like Neosporin, sometimes that's all you really need. And
okay.
You know, before you put the bandage on. So pine tar is an interesting old wives' tale to put on your wounds, but you know, Neosporin we know works.
Okay, that's good to know.
Sure,
well,
I'm so glad you called in. Thank you.
Okay.
There's a comment in the chat room from a Penny that Blue Coat is also a good possible treatment.
Yep. And that's easily obtained at any feed store.
Yes, and I have a question from Margie Stansel, and it's kind of one that I've been wondering too. She's having an odd pattern. It's not molt, an odd pattern of losing feathers, and she's been putting Blue Coat on it. I had one hen, Professor, that just was never able to get her feathers back. But she the little pen feathers had been pecked out for a while. A while, I'm not sure how long a while is, maybe a month or so, but I put a little hen apron on it to get her through the winter so she could at least get through the winter. But still, she never feathered out, even underneath the... is there a season or something? And she was laying an egg maybe every week or so. So trying to grow feathers, trying...
Was she pecking at her own feathers?
No, not that I could observe.
So were other chickens pecking at the feathers?
Yes, I think the other chickens were, but it was even under her wings that were some kind of gone and on her chest. So, and I did microscope scrapings to see if it was mites of some sort that burrowed in, and I have a very good microscope. I saw nothing, didn't see anything even on the feathers when I looked at those.
Were the chickens pulling the feathers and dropping them to the ground, or were they eating the feathers?
I don't know. I didn't observe that. They have a high protein diet. Higher than most, because I think heritage breeds need more than the commercial breeds do. So I don't think it would be a feather eating event. But is there? Have you heard of anything about strange feather loss going on in the case of Margie's? She just doesn't know, and I didn't know either, because it didn't look like molt to me. At least not the molt I've observed before. Is that happening with other birds? I guess is the first question. That you've observed or heard of?
I have
in
not.
Older birds.
If birds are losing feathers and eating their own feathers or eating other chickens' feathers, typically it's a imbalance in the diet,
mm-hmm.
either in protein, vitamins, or minerals. And so sometimes that can occur. And for feathers not to grow back means there's some imbalance in the diet.
Just with this one hen, and we both feed organic feed
right.
from Countryside.
So she needed something else.
She needed something else, and I
or
couldn't figure out what it was.
Denied something that you know, her diet just wasn't fulfilling her needs.
Well, I was wondering, is there a time to molt and a time not to molt, so that her system had shifted to the not molt time, and she'd have to go through another whole cycle before she could grow another suit of feathers?
Typically, birds just molt once a year, and if they do it, they do it after they've sat on eggs in the spring. And so they'll, you know, this is about the time of year when they might start their molt. Other hens, you know, there's several molting phases that they go through as they grow from chicks to adult mature birds. And so I'm wondering if that was a young bird that was going through several different molting phases. How old was this bird when you saw this problem?
My bird, she was in her second year.
Okay,
this
so that
been
wouldn't have been
yolk.
The problem. Okay.
But with Margie's birds, I think they're pretty young. And there's a place on the back of their tail where that oil gland is.
Mm-hmm.
That is. I mean, you can't even see any pin feathers there. That might have been pecked out. I don't know, but it's on all but two of her birds.
Right, and so if a young bird, well, they go through seven different molts before they get all their mature feathers. So sometimes they do have bare
really?
Patches.
Seven
yep.
different molts.
Seven
I
different
didn't know that.
Molting phases before they get their mature feathers.
Huh.
And so there are times when they just sans feathers. Unfortunately, that's not convenient, and they will peck at each other. And sometimes when they really get to going on this, they'll damage their feather follicles, and occasionally they won't get good feathers back.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as they're fed a balanced diet and they aren't experiencing any other genetic abnormalities or dietary concerns, they should feather out nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, there's no national problem right now with feathering out.
Well, we were talking about at our poultry club about the hens changing to roosters and roosters to hens, and there was that one picture in the paper about a bird that was literally a cockerel, a rooster one side and a hen the other, right down the middle, they don't know.
We've had that happen with zebra finches too. That was pretty cool when that happened.
It seems to be happening more and more. Is there any cause
for it?
No,
it's not happening more and more. It's just, I think, more and more.
We're noticing it?
Noticing, yeah.
More people have chickens than they're living.
More people would have offed that chicken very early on if they'd seen that. That's weird. Let's eat it.
Okay, so they got called out.
I wanted to answer a question by Leah Thomas. She asked, what's the best file to use to file beaks back? She's used an emery board, but she says
good
it takes
question.
Too long, and they lose patience with me. Well, I don't know any chicken that has any sort of patience for a good beak print. So I'm sorry, Leah Thomas. There's no secret magical incantation to make them be patient. She said, someone told me to use a Dremel or a rotary tool, and I'm very hesitant because of the noise and heat. Well, I've used the emery board for years and for my showbirds to get a real nice, clean, close, in a hurry trim, I always use the rock attachment on my Dremel tool. And if I have a rooster with really long spurs, I'll also use a Dremel tool to cut those spurs in half as long as I don't hit the quick. And,
did you say
get hot.
Did you half?
Yeah, you can cut the spurs in half if they're super long.
Oh, wow.
And so you can really shorten them up. I'm concerned about the heat of the Dremel tool. It's not so much the noise of the Dremel tool, but it's the vibration of the Dremel tool that bothers the birds. And I don't have the tool in contact with the beak for very long. It's like touch, 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 touch. So they don't really heat up all that much. But Leah Thomas, that's an excellent question. For those of you with bantam chickens or you're new at trimming the beaks, you can start with the emery board and get those beaks into good shape. Sometimes they crack it on stuff and you've got to step in and smooth out their smile.
Yeah. Well, Professor, we've only got just a few minutes left. Gosh, this time has gone by so quickly. Any last words of wisdom that you can give to us chicken keepers down here?
Don't eat yellow snow.
Oh, yeah, very good. Oh, Grape Eggs asks, why do you file the beaks? Because sometimes their beaks get super long. They don't have anything to trim their beaks down on. And they'll just grow and grow and grow, and they'll hook right over, and they can't eat as easily as if they had a surface on which to rub their beaks down on. So no cuttle fish necessarily. You just need to take a little emery board to them and get that beak down into a good smiling shape so they can. They can say, hey there, roosters, I'm looking good. Come on over. And last question, I think it was up here. Do chickens stress easily like other birds? It depends on the breed. I found that many of the Mediterranean breeds are very flighty, and sometimes they fuss and worry over things much more than some of the American English breeds.
Okay. Professor, we've only got 90 seconds left. We're going to lose contact here shortly.
Okay.
So if you stick with
the American and English breeds, you'll be much less likely to have worried, stressed-out birds. So thank you very much, Pat Foreman and Andy, for the opportunity to answer some of the general audience questions. And thank you very much for the phone call from Massachusetts. That was an excellent question. And we'll have a couple more opportunities later on like this in the year. So thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, Whisper.
Absolutely. Absolutely, as always. Remember, again, 35 seconds left. Tomorrow is Fun Friday. Everybody loves Fun Friday. Great prizes from our sponsors. Chicken trivia. You want to study your chicken trivia overnight because you never know what kind of chicken trivia question we may have. Thank you very much, Bridget McRae. Love you. And Pat, love you too. And thank you very much for being my co-host. And take it away. 20 seconds.
Well, of course, we all love you too, Whisper. Thank you so much for creating this talk show and bringing us all together so we can just cluck merrily along. And I'm just going to say on behalf of everyone and forever, may the flock be with you all. God bless everybody.
Bye.